A free speech advocacy group has raised $50,000 in less than 24 hours in a crowdfunding campaign to take legal action against the Auckland Mayor Phil Goff. Now, Phil Goff last week announced that a pair of controversial right-wing speakers from Canada would be banned from using Auckland Council venues during a planned visit to New Zealand next month. Mr. Goff said he made the decision by himself and stands by it.
I made a decision totally in line with the policy of Auckland Council, which is that we are an inclusive city. We're a city with 40% migrant population, people born overseas. And, you know, I'm not banning anyone, by the way. The government can choose to do that if it wishes. What I'm simply saying is that I'm not going to aid and abet people that spout racist nonsense by providing them with a venue.
That's Phil Goff. Well, joining us now is the former leader of the National and ACT parties and a member of this free speech coalition, Don Brash. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Guyon.
What is it that you want?
Well, I'm hoping to force Phil Goff to recognise that he's in breach of the Bill of Rights Act, which guarantees freedom of speech, and potentially in breach also of the Human Rights Act, which prevents discrimination on the basis of political opinion.
Yes, but the Human Rights Act also has a section about racial disharmony. I'm looking at Section 61 of the Human Rights Act 1993 now, and it says that it's unlawful to use in any place words which are threatening, abusive or insulting. It goes on to say if they are words likely to excite hostility or bring into contempt any group of persons in or who may be coming to New Zealand on the grounds of colour, race or ethnic or national origin. So it's not quite that clear cut in your favour, is it?
Well, yes, there is a certain contradiction there. You're right. The Bill of Rights Act makes it absolutely unambiguous that you can express any views you like, provided you're not threatening somebody. And to the best of my knowledge, threatening somebody is still a criminal act. But there's no suggestion that these two activists from overseas are threatening people or urging other people to threaten people.
Yeah, but you're focusing on one word. It's a little more wide than that. It says excite hostility or to bring into contempt on these grounds. Now, well, it'd probably be useful then to go into their views first, wouldn't it? And then people can try and assess whether or not it goes to that. Have you researched their views?
No, I've not. I've never, to my knowledge, read anything by either of them.
Okay.
So I'm not defending their views.
We've just established that you haven't looked at it. Well, so can I've spent some considerable time trying to pin down some of the things. So what I'm going to tell you now are direct quotes from Lauren Southern, for a start, who's described Hitler as, quote, just a social justice warrior who happened to get freaky amounts of power, end quote. I mean, does that disturb you, that comparison to Hitler?
Absolutely. I mean, Hitler was a most nasty, objectionable person. Mm-hmm. I'm not defending this guy's views at all. As I said earlier, I'm defending the right to him for him to express those views.
Yeah, this is Lauren. This is the young woman. There is a man accompanying her.
This
is from Lauren Southern.
Okay.
From Stephen Molyneux, who is the partner in this. I'm looking at a March 18 piece in The Guardian by Gavin Evans, if anyone wants to Google it to check this out. It's 2018. And he is advocating this alt-right view of scientific racism. In it, he argues that social outcomes are the result of different innate IQs among races, high IQ Jews and low IQ black people. Now, is that not the very definition of racism? He's arguing there, Stephen Molyneux, that intelligence is linked to race and that some races are more intelligent than others.
Well, there are some people who think that. I don't think that. I've never argued that for one single moment. But I think we're talking here not about his particular views. I'm not defending those views. I'm defending the right of free speech. That's the important issue.
Okay. So would you agree that those views are racist?
I do.
Okay. So you are supporting his right to make racist views in New Zealand?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm putting to you that is probably unlawful under the Human Rights Act, if I'm reading it. This could be contestable, but that's 61. Check it out yourself.
And that is the point that the courts will decide.
Mm.
Is it illegal or is it not? And I think the principle of free speech is extremely important. I wasn't very much aware of this issue, I must say, until last year when Paul Moon, professor of history at AUT, asked a number of people to sign a petition in favor of free speech, and he got 27 people from all shades of the political spectrum, including me, including Carrie-Anne Turia, including Chris Trotter, I think, to sign that statement. It's a very important principle.
Are you a free speech absolutist?
I'm not quite sure what that means, but very close to it, I suspect.
Okay. Did you take an injunction against someone publishing a book in 2006?
I did, and that was not on the free speech grounds. It was on the grounds that we thought the book was involved disclosing a lot of private emails from members of the public to me as leader of the opposition. And I thought it was important that members of the public were able to communicate with me without fear of being disclosed.
Yes. So free speech has its limits, then, doesn't it?
No. Private correspondence is quite different from speaking in public. As soon as I discovered it was about the National Party, I lifted that injunction.
But you did not want Nikki Haga to publish the book without that assurance, did you? So I'm just saying there are limits to free speech.
No one is suggesting that private correspondence should be in the public domain if they don't want it to be in the public domain. We write private letters. They expect them to be treated privately. This is quite a different issue, Guyon.
So would you be happy for someone expressing any view, perhaps supporting paedophilia at an extreme example, or promoting drug use amongst very young children, again, as an extreme example? Would you be happy for that to take place in New Zealand?
I'd be very uneasy about that, to be frank. I gave a speech on free speech late last year, and I quoted the example of Brian Tamaki saying that the earthquakes in Christchurch were to do with gays and other kinds of sinfulness. Would I ban that speech? No. But I would want to be free to call him a nutter. I quoted another example of a Muslim cleric who was blaming Jews for all the evils of the world. Do I want to ban that? No. But I want to be free to say the guy is in a nutcase.
Yeah, but it doesn't Phil Goff, as the elected mayor of Auckland, on a leadership basis, have the right to say, well, you can speak in New Zealand, you can have your say, but I'm not going to give you a council platform.
Well, the council platforms are paid for by all ratepayers, not by Phil Goff. And I think it's important that the council facilities, which are paid for by all ratepayers, are available to people with a wide range of political views.
The 50,000 you've raised, I mean, you could have got a private venue for these people yourselves, couldn't you? I mean, you'd probably get the Oriwa Rotary Club for that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I probably could. But that's not the point. And as I say, I didn't choose the particular target. And, I mean, I didn't initiate this group. I'm very happy to be involved with it. I think it's a worthwhile cause to be involved in. But they've got a large number of New Zealanders willing to not only contribute, but more importantly, put their names to this in public.
On free speech, you've spent quite a bit of time and energy in media space complaining about the use of te reo Māori in the media. Does that contradict your views on free speech?
No. I've never tried to get it banned. I've tried to say, look, for a radio station which purports to put news to the public, to broadcast in a language where 95% at least of your audience do not understand is nuts. That's not a ban on free speech.
So what now? What are you hoping that eventuates out of this? Are you hoping to set some sort of precedent?
Absolutely. That a mayor simply cannot make a judgment of someone else's political views when he decides who can use the council facilities. I mean, this is not the first time this has happened. It happened in Nelson recently when the Nelson City Council refused a venue to a guy who was giving a speech about the treaty, which the council thought might incite disharmony or raise health and safety issues. I mean, this is an appalling situation.
Thanks for your time this morning. Do appreciate it. That's Don Brash, who's part of that Free Speech Coalition.